Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi everyone. Today's episode is going to be one for the books, or I guess one for the podcasts. We're speaking with Amir Kaligi, who is a men's embodiment teacher. He's been doing this work for over 25 years, which is massively impressive. He is the founder of embodiedmasculine.com, a movement dedicated to training and empowering men to live purpose-driven lives. He is a men's coach, speaker, teacher, and artista. He is also the founder of BelovedPoetry.com, an online space dedicated to sharing the works of such masters of love as Rumi, Hafiz, Kabir, Neruda, and others. And I was really delighted to speak to Amir. He comes from the same circle of the feminine and masculine work that I come from, with John Wineland and Kendra Kunov and Jamie Woolrab and London Angel Winters and Justin Patrick Pierce, like all these amazing people. And it's really just a delight to be able to come back to these conversations with a new lens, with a deeper perspective, with a slightly different topic. And today's topic, we're going to be talking about the four archetypes of the masculine, which you will discover and hear more about: the king, warrior, magician, and lover, as well as why we are working towards creating a world where the masculine is in awe of the feminine and all that she brings and all that she is. The feminine within him, the feminine in Mother Earth, the feminine within woman, the feminine within all of life, and why awe is the new path, the path of healing rather than destruction and fear, which is what's been going on our planet. We've seen it very clearly with the Amazon fires, and Amir ties in that very recent tragedy into this podcast. So you'll hear about that in this episode. And I also want to encourage you right from the get-go to include people in your life that are important to you in this podcast listening experience. Maybe send it to a friend or a masculine figure that is doing embodiment work. Expose them to Amir's work by sharing this podcast with them. Send it to your dad. Send it to your ex-lover who you're still on good terms with, or your current lover, or your brother, or a cousin, or a feminine being who's wanting to understand and have more compassion for the masculine, or make sense of the different energies she's been feeling coming at her from the world. This is just work that's really great for all of us to understand and to dive deeper into, especially us feminine creatures. As we go deeper into our feminine, it only makes energetic, quote, sense for us to be going deeper into our masculine as well. Today's review of the week comes from Misty1B, and Misty1B says, earthy and relatable with 5 stars. Talented host, interesting guests, and subject matter with depth. The best in the personal development genre. Oh, thank you, Misty. Oh, got shivers up and down my spine reading that. Oh, I feel the love. Like, literally, I just felt shivers up and down my spine. So thank you for this really, really sweet thing to say. Today is October 16th. The only announcements that are really relevant to share today: one, the Feminine Spirit School is coming up. The doors will be opening October 24th. That's very soon. 5 days of the early bird price, which is $12.50. And then a few days of the regular price, which is $1,500. And then we begin November 4th. This is the best way to go deep into the feminine and the masculine within your own body and feel sisterhood. It is a way you can feel like you are working with me one-on-one, because it's I'm in your ear. Everything is on an MP3 or audio based, and there is journaling exercises. There are a lot of tools in this one. tools that I've spent thousands and tens of thousands of dollars, if not like $100,000, of learning into this course, of going into your shadow, the inner child, ancestral healing, embodiment, pleasure as a feminine creature, relationships, heartbreak, so many different powerful aspects that most of us are trying to cultivate and learn when we say we're going into our feminine are in this course. I made this course to be able to reach people who did not have or cannot currently create the opportunity to work with me on one-on-one. So this course is a great way to have the sisterhood Facebook community aspect, also having these tools and lessons that you can take your own pace at doing. There is no rush. You have lifetime access. It is, I've received only very positive feedback from everyone that went through this course, and I would love to have you join us for the next launch. It's going to be, again, the doors will be opening October 24th. That will be for just a few days of the early bird, $1,250, and then October 29th, the regular price begins, $1,500, and then doors will close November 3rd, and we begin November 4th. And we start immediately off with practices, going into our animalistic archetypes and nature archetypes. And there are also two Facebook Lives, Zoom Lives, actually. I think I'm changing it to Zoom Lives, that I will include. So anyone in the course will be able to hop on Zoom and ask me questions. This is like a personal coaching call. And we'll go through an embodiment practice together live. This course, I'm telling you, it only launches like twice a year. So if you're interested, let me know if you have any questions. Otherwise, go to mattymoon.com/feminine-spirit to sign on up, and you'll be in it to win it. The other thing I wanted to announce, that November 15th to 17th, myself and director, actor, producer, vocal coach Jamie Woolrab, we will be teaching a weekend retreat here in New York City, all about going into our shadow with embodiment and with storytelling. So it's going to be deep work. I've talked about it on almost every single podcast. I will include a link in the show notes to this, to a very specific podcast I did with Jamie Woolrab, all about embodying archetypes and our shadows. So if you're curious, just go listen to that. Go to the show notes for this, mattymoon.com/AmiraKaliki. And you'll be able to see that link on there that takes you to the other podcast with Jamie, so you can hear all about it. And Amir and Jamie, as you'll hear on the podcast, they're friends. They're tight. So if you like what Amir is all about, you probably like what Jamie's all about and what I'm all about. So we're all in the same beautiful circle of trying to create a union between the feminine and masculine within ourselves and within each other, and also learn to work with the shadows, which you will hear about in this episode two. Just love this divine webbing of all the different circles and worlds and messages and topics. Everything you need to know will be on the show notes for this. Let's go head on over to this epic podcast with Amir Kaliki. Amir, one of the reasons why I booked you on this date to talk to you now is because I just got back from my fifth event with John and Kendra, the Art of Fearless Intimacy, and I knew that I was going to be feeling like, oh, where did the embodied masculine go? Like I'm like drowning in my feminine all of a sudden again. And while it's so good, I also want to be like in the presence of someone who's doing this work, and I miss it. So when we decided to do this podcast, I was like, I'm going to do it right after that event, because it'll feel really good to be able to drop in with someone who has some deep breath and can just be with me. Yeah. So,
well, thank you. And consider yourself held, so you can go ahead and express what needs to come.
Oh, I'm just gonna like, I'm just gonna rewind that over and over. Consider yourself held. You're held. Oh, it feels so good. So welcome to the podcast. It is so good to have you here.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So as you know, we have our first question. And the first question that I'm going to ask you, and this can be about anything in particular in life, whether it's the masculine or, you know, trees or something else, but what are you currently musing about in life? What has you captivated?
I'm going to say, you know, right now I'm really in touch with the importance of nature and how kind of unconscious and disconnected most men are from her. And so for me, it's just been a continuous exploration of finding ways to work with men to get them in touch with that natural resource of energy. So if you follow my Instagram, I'm constantly putting up images of, you know, either nature or cosmic connection. And so that's where I'm at. That's my latest musing.
I find it really interesting. I'm just now thinking of this, of how the feminine is nature in so many different forms, of the wildness of the jungle or the storm, the tsunami, the ease of a breeze. It's just this energy, but yet it's such an overlap for the feminine and the masculine, because that, like, when I think of men in nature, I'm like, well, yeah, that's where men go to find peace so often. And I'm gendering here a little bit. That's to be expected on this podcast. Like, it just happens. But what I really mean is the energy, right? And you know this, but do you find that that's, because it's one of those things that's incredibly healing, and everything I've read, for the masculine to be able to go away into a forest and to spend time alone. What do you find that the masculine gains from being able to be in that kind of solitude surrounded by Mother Earth?
The truth. So the masculine is under the guise that if he was to simply complete another task, he would feel what it would feel like to actually be connected to nature. So he's on this quest of constantly hitting another check mark off his list of things he has to do to get to where he thinks he needs to go to. And then he feels incredibly depleted, and all he wants is his burdens to go away. And his burdens become his list of items, whatever they may be. It could be, you know, the list of things he has to do to get somewhere in his business, it could simply be, you know, his inability to be with his woman, you know, because he starts interpreting her feminine expression as something he needs to deal with. So these are all pointers to the fact that he is actually malnutrition with his connection to the Great Mother Nature, whatever we want to call her. And so it becomes about guiding him to the reality that the truth is that what you're missing is that nutrition from her with a capital H. So most men or most teachers or most spiritual teachers, they really, in order to give what they are there to give, they must reconnect to source in order to get the download of what it is that they're here to do. And even in, you know, you'll hear in, even, I'm not a big religious person, but, you know, Jesus would have these gatherings, way too many people would come. He would get all this like overwhelm, and he'd be like, I'm out. He would just leave. He would just like venture off into the forest, and like you wouldn't see him for quite a while. And he would do that quite often, like, you know. So it's paramount. If you're in the business of spiritual evolution or teaching of any sort, you have to be in touch with her, the capital H, her.
Yeah. Mm. You wrote an article recently on this. You wrote an article on the Amazon fires, which still feels so, I mean, that wave of recognition just for the fires, it just felt like it was a week of just great, finally, right? Because it took a while to get coverage, but it was a week of coverage and then gone. And we're not talking about it again. So let's talk about that. Can you share a bit on that article that you wrote for, which publication was it? Elephant Journal?
Yeah, it was an article I wrote for Elephant Journal. And the premise is that the masculine throughout millennia, when faced with his counterpart, the feminine, and let's just go gender, when men, for now, faced with women or the feminine, have had a problem. That the biggest problem is that you're looking at some your counterpart that has this miraculous ability to embody and reflect the miracle of life through her body, and men are faced with two options when looking at her. One is awe, like an absolute awe of the beauty and the power and the creative life force that emanates, right? And literally children come out of women. So one is awe and the other is fear, right? Burn the witch at the stake, right? Put a burqa on her, genital mutilation, on and on, right? So these are all indicative of the suppression of the feminine. So throughout this piece of history, men have not been able to stand in the presence of the full feminine in awe. And the way I tied that to the Amazon fires was that, you know, the disconnect to nature and the values of power and materialism and what we coin as toxic masculinity allow for the burning of the lungs of the earth while we stand there and reflect back to the devastation, and so little attention goes to that, you know. And so what men like me and other teachers that work with the masculine, we're simply trying to wake men up to a new way of being connected to her in awe, instead of resorting to the only kind of resource we have, which is domination, which is really a shadow form of one of the archetypes that the masculine embodies.
Oh, yeah. That's why this work has been so profoundly healing for me. I have felt generations, like in moments that I've been doing this kind of work in person and these live events, where I've really just felt like pain summon up from the lack of awe for my own life, but also it's bigger than that. It's felt wider than that. And that's the same extent of the healing I've experienced when I really felt held, and how much I love being held, and how it's like, oh my gosh, it's a drug to be held by someone who is in awe of you and not afraid of you and can still hold you. And in fact says, bring it, like bring it on. And I love that you made this correlation with the fires. And it's also really quite fascinating that nature is the place the masculine goes to finally feel free of burden, and they're destroying it. So it's like this, our planet is saying, we will never be free of burden. We're destroying the place where we could be free of burden, because we're going to keep whatever, you know, X, Y, Z, making money, having parties, living the way that we live, whatever it may be, fill in the blank. But yeah, it's just like the feminine creates birth, this is creating more death. So it's, yeah.
Disconnect and destruction, right? Disconnect. And, you know, I hold a vision of men standing next to women, the masculine and the feminine, and leading a world where we don't value things like power, prestige, and money, and we value family and nurturing and connection to the earth, right? And so, and we look at people that are still living off the land, right? And they are somehow looked at as primitive, but in reality, they're like the last bastion of the, they're the front line of people that are still connected to her, that draw wisdom from her, that learn from the animals still. And this is not ethereal. This is not like, you know, this is true, like, wisdom that is either going to like be lost, or we fight for it and we reclaim it, right? And so I'm in the business of fighting for her.
Goosebumps. Yes. Yes. Okay. So one thing I really wanted to talk with you about was the four archetypes of the masculine and their shadows. Mm-hmm. We've never talked about that on the podcast before. And I have a good size of primarily masculine followers, and it's about time we dive deep into this. So I would love to hear these from you and what their shadows are as well.
Yeah. So there are four masculine archetypes as outlined by Doug Gillette and Robert Moore, who were Jungian by training. And they break them down into the king, the warrior, the magician, and the lover. And an archetype is a seedling that runs through the fabric of the masculine. So it's not something that can be thought away or ignored. As a matter of fact, when you ignore the expression of an archetype, what you're actually doing is pushing it into its shadows. So when the warrior, magician, and lover are in full expression in service to purpose or to the king, they give rise to the king archetype, the divine king. The divine king is connected to her, right? Or purpose, some would say purpose. And purpose is just the message that you get from her about what you're here to do on this planet. So when you're in line with purpose, when you're connected to her, and the other three archetypes are in their full expression, you give rise to the divine king, which basically is anyone who is having regenerative power in their domain. So the king that is in his bloom, you can see things around him are blooming, literally, like the workshops are getting bigger, and the flowers are growing, and people are coming, and the people are fed spiritually. Now, that could be with a teacher, it could be within your family, it could be within your organization. And it's really, it's kind of like a spiritual blessing that's upon you. And the divine king brings order out of chaos. So when this blessing may not be upon you, and you want it to be upon you, because for whatever reason, let's say you're not connected to her, let's say you're not receiving the downloads, what happens is men will start pretending to be the king. And when the blessing is not upon you, when you pretend to be the king, you're moving into shadow. And the two, each archetype has a active and has two bipolar shadows. So on one hand, the king that goes into his shadow could become the tyrant. So when the blessing is not on him, he will force you to do what he wants you to do, right? He becomes the Nero to the Jesus, right? He becomes anyone who kind of runs a government or a household or an organization by force. We don't have to look too far to see that reflected in our own government. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the shadow of the king, is the weakling. He has lost his voice. He is self-castrated in his own home. And that's for the other side of the archetype of the king. Then you have the warrior, which is the part of the masculine that cuts through the bullshit, gets shit done, protects the boundaries, knows its perimeter, knows where his boundaries and his service are to be dedicated. And he, if in service to the king, if he has a higher purpose than himself, then he becomes an incredible tool to the king to get shit done, to move through, to take care of business. When he's not tethered to the king, he becomes self-serving and he moves into his shadows, the masochist or the sadist. Then you have the magician, right? The hand of the king. The magician is the alchemist that decides what needs to happen in any situation, informs the king of which direction we should move into. And in his shadow forms, he becomes manipulator and self-serving. He uses his knowledge for his own gain, or in the polar opposite, he becomes the innocent one, which is he just takes no responsibility for anything. Then we have the lover. The lover in his bloom is fully connected, right? Fully connected. He's the artist. He's the expression. He knows that we are all one. He brings the humanity to the other archetypes. And in his one shadow, he is the addict. He just can't get enough and he can't break the cycle. And on the other polar opposite, he becomes impotent in his love, becomes anorexic. That's a lot of information about the archetypes, right? But that's kind of like basically every man has these fibers of essences within him. They can either be fully expressed, which give rise to the king, service to a higher calling, or they go into shadows.
For today's show sponsor, we are bringing in a sponsor that, quite frankly, we need in our world in order to survive. We don't need the sponsor in general, but what they're doing, we do need. And that is clean air. We need clean air to survive. One time I was getting my hair washed, and this was probably about 5 years ago, and I didn't want to pay like $50 for the really nice shampoo because I was like, well, why would I do that when I can pay $5 for the over-the-counter shampoo? And I remember my hairdresser say to me that your hair is something you wear every single day. It's that important. You'll spend a lot of money on a dress, but you won't spend something on you won't spend more money and invest more money in your hair quality. And that stuck with me for multiple things in my life. I think about that when it comes to the water that I drink and how pure it is. I think about it with the food that I eat and the high quality. Is it organic? Is it feeding my body well? Because anything to do with my body, it's something that I wear every day. My body is. And when it comes to air, like air is the thing that we rely on, our cells, like our everything from our skin to how our heart is beating to how our eyes are seeing the world. If we're seeing the world through dry eyes or we're feeling nourished and our skin feels too dry or too oily, or what are we breathing in? What's going into our lungs? The lungs, the place that holds so much of our life and our well-being. And so today's show sponsor is an air purifier, and it's something that I really believe. It's an investment. It's not only an investment in the space of your apartment, but it's an investment in how you show up in the world, because that is one of the most precious gifts we have is breath. Without it, we will not live. So why not invest in your body and the air that you breathe, because it affects everything else in your life. So a few little bullets about Molecule that I want to mention today. Molecule's technology has been personally effective and verified by science. But most importantly, it's been tested by real people, and Molecule has given allergy and asthma sufferers around the country an all new experience that's healthier and more enjoyable and free from a lot of the day-to-day frustrations they experience with their asthma and allergies. The Molecule air purifier, it's an air purifier for the whole home. Molecule offers a breakthrough PECO, P-E-C-O technology across all of their products, and it provides a solution for the entire home when it comes to air purification. So whether you need it for a large room like a living room, or you need it for a smaller room like maybe you live in a New York apartment, you can choose the size that is best for you, and you can create a bundle to provide air purification for the entire home. Few more points that I want to mention. Why would someone choose Molecule? Well, global air pollution is worsening at an ever-increasing rate. Over 80% of people living in urban areas that monitor air pollution are exposed to air quality below World Health Organization standards. Worst news is that indoor air can be up to 5 times worse than outdoor air, according to the EPA, and most of us spend around 90% of our time indoors. When I was living in Denver, the air quality was getting really, really, really bad. And it's actually better in New York than it was even in Colorado, which is very surprising. But again, I live like very near this, it's not a trash dump, but it kind of feels like that. It's just like this little courtyard people throw trash into. And I know I'm breathing that in, and I don't want to be breathing that in. And the plants that I have sometimes just don't feel like enough. So with Molecule's air purification technology, you can expect that your allergy season is going to be a lot less harmful, especially around right now. I always get a little bit more allergies. And something to note is that pollen isn't the only problem, even though a lot of people think that it is. It's actually the tiny proteins that break off of pollen that are responsible for seasonal allergies. And even though they are less visible, these allergens can cause huge problems and can pass right through traditional HEPA air purifiers, which, by the way, have not been updated in 70 years. HPA filters were invented back in World War II, and they've stayed basically the same ever since. Molecule has created a new filtration system that doesn't just collect pollutants on antiquated filters, but destroys them on a molecular level. So that's what's really important to me. I don't have asthma, but I do have allergies, and my skin can get dry. My eyes can get very dry, so I'm all about it. And one of the other most important things, okay, if we're being real, is that they don't look like traditional air purifiers. They're beautiful. You can think of them as the Apple of air purifiers. And not only is the technology inside revolutionary, but the units themselves look sleek and modern. So with all of that said, if you are not sold on it, oh my gosh, come on. Your air, it's something that you take in every single day, every moment of your life. Why not make sure it's the most pure that it can possibly be? So to get 10% off your first order, and as a thank you for being a listener of the Mind Body Musings podcast, you can go to molecule.com, that is molekule.com, and enter Maddie Moon, all one word, all caps, at checkout. Again, that's 10% off your first air purifier order at molecule.com, and enter Maddie Moon, all one word, all caps, at checkout. Would love to hear your thoughts. I would love to see a photo of it if you want to post it on the gram and tag me and tag Molecule, and we'll be like, yay, high fives for clean air all around. Good for our bodies, good for our families, good for our plants, because we're giving it back to them. And yeah, I hope you enjoyed this exciting little tidbit and lesson in HEPAs dating back to World War II. I did not think I'd be teaching history today, but I am. And now it's time to go back to the podcast and hear what Amir has to say about these delicious 4 masculine archetypes.
Whoo. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a lot, right?
Well, I took notes. The first thing that's popping out to me is the lover artist. And I'm going to try to formulate this question in a way that will sound good when I play it back and listen to it later.
Okay.
It feels like there are a lot of, I will say, men out there who are a part of the spiritual realm and world, who are full of love and the love, the light, the ecstatic dance, the cuddle parties, the acro yoga, very familiar with this world. And I've spent a lot of time with people in this world. And I wonder if, I'll say it this way. It feels to me like a lot of these people who are wearing these big, like, obsidian stones on their neck and jeweled with their crystals, like that to me is repelling. I'll just say it very honest. That to me is pretty repelling. I want to go the other way, the other direction when I am in the presence of someone that's highly in this archetype. I don't know. I don't think that would be considered a shadow. It sounds to me like that would more be lacking the other archetypes, like really only just that one flavor.
Yeah. Right. So that's, they're really strong, let's say, in their expression of the lover archetype. And they just, that's where they live. And what you may be attracted to, or what you may be calling in for your life. I mean, somebody may be calling in that lover, right? It's all they want. They just want, give me the lover arc. Like, that's my flavor. Give me that. And that's where he's at. And that's where he's living, right? You may be calling in the king. So you may be like, that's awesome, but I'd like a guy, right, who knows who he is, who is tethered to why he's here. He knows when to say no to me. He knows with love, right? Mm-hmm. He takes care of business because his warrior is activated. I can trust his intuition, right? So I can relax into his magician archetype. The king already embodies all those. They're already living within him as an expression in everything he does, in everything he sees, in everything he moves. So your attraction may be to, maybe you've seen enough of that, and now you're like, that's not where what you're calling. So where you're at and what work you're doing is going to call in exactly your match. And I have a feeling you're probably looking for the king, or maybe you already have a king, or I don't really know.
I love that you said that, because that's something that I talk about all the time, especially like even on dates. I will say things just like, I am a queen looking for the king. That feels super solid in my body. Yes, yes, yes. Even at one point though, it was the lover artist that I was looking for. Sorry if you heard those sirens. It was probably about 2 years ago. Sorry, sirens are getting very loud. It was probably about 2 years ago. I was dating these two very different men. And this was a moment of clarity to me. I was speaking with another man of this work about these two different types. One, very, very sweet, kind, made me dinner, picked me up from the airport when I arrived home from a place, already had like, he had a card for me that he handmade and made food for me, so I didn't have to do that. It was just the sweetest things, like things you tell another girlfriend and they're like, oh, I want that. But something was missing. I couldn't feel into it at the time what that ingredient was. While everything on paper was a solid yes, there was a certain trustability or safety or the discipline aspect, knowing that this person would be disciplined, or even disciplined with our relationship, knowing when something's truly a yes or when it's actually a no, even if I'm begging for something. I didn't have that trustability with him. Then there was another person I was with who was all of the spontaneity, fire, Sagittarius type energy, just here, there, everywhere, rough and tough in certain ways, but the edges were harsh. And it didn't feel like I could really open up and drop deep with him about my heart or express my tsunami or my river of tears, whatever came up for me. And the person I was explaining this to said something along the lines of, sounds to me like guy number one wouldn't know how to pin down your wrists and guy number two wouldn't know how to pick you back up, or something like that. It was really like, wow. Oh, yes, that's exactly what it is. I want the wrists pinned, and I also want to be helped back up. And yeah, that's that. That was just a moment of clarity to me. And looking at these archetypes, it feels really like true that it is all four of these that I think myself, I desire. I'll just say I desire that. My question for you around this is, for someone who also wants a king, what are some of the things that they may need to know about being with a man who is so directed by purpose and may need solitude and space? What are some things that they can expect?
Well, they can expect that you're not going to be, you know, like, you're not going to be, you're not it. I mean, you are the queen, right? And you and he'll hold that for you, but his, and he'll be completely available to you 100% when you guys are together, but know that, you know, he's on purpose. And as the queen, you will already know that. And the only time that, you know, you'll have a problem with it is maybe, you know, that you're not ready to be with a king, right? So a man that is on purpose is going to be, you know, invested fully into what he needs to do. I'll just tell you, my wife is the queen of hearts. I mean, we've had, you know, I can just talk about her and our relationship for the rest of this time. But what I can say is that she knows what serves my soul, and that is to serve out my purpose, and is incredibly hands-free in that space with me, right? She's supportive and not needy, you know. I couldn't be with someone who was dependent on me in that way, where I'm at today in my life. So if your personality is, or where you're at in your life, you're like totally dependent on your sense of well-being comes from the relationship. And there's nothing wrong with it. I've been there in my, you know, I'm, you know, going to be 49 in a couple of days. And I, you know, in my life, I have been there. I've been dependent. I've had to work to unwind myself and become more independent, and then ultimately interdependent, right? So expect to be with someone that is a full-grown human being on purpose, as the queen is, right? As the queen is. And things like dependence and like certain kinds of like elongated enmeshments, they just don't work in that dynamic anymore. You know, there's certain unhealthy dynamics that just don't work in that king queen relationship. So I'm not sure. Did I answer that question?
Yes. Yes.
Long-winded answer.
I want to go deeper into the actual things that she does, though, that nurture you. Mm-hmm. Can you give us an inside look on, let's say,
sure,
you're on purpose, you have something coming up, maybe it's an event and you're focused. What are some of the ways that she, as the Queen of Hearts, nurtures that for you, mm-hmm, even if she misses you?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really like the little things, you know, like let's say I'm away like on a 4 or 5 day event, and I come home late at night, you know, there's a candle waiting for me, you know, there's like, you know, to greet me, even though she's sleeping, you know, she nourishes me that way. We create time we have 3 kids at home, 4 kids all together, from a 21-year-old to a 2-year-old and 2 in between. So our life gets really busy, right? And you know, I'm doing this, but we make sure we take time to cultivate our garden. We have a garden, and the garden is where her, right? It's like our version of being able to dive into our sacred relationship. So we make sure that we keep that space really clean, you know? And like, it's not one thing that she does. It's who she is, right? It's the work that she's done up to this point, you know, and the work that I did to get to for us to meet. You know, we met about four years ago, right? She came from a divorce. I came from a divorce. Both had children. And it all comes down to, it's all reflective on the work that you're doing in your life, on who your reflected partner is going to be. So, you know, for me, it was like, okay, I just, you know, I'm about getting to the point of knowing what I'm here to do, you know, and I just met a woman who believes and supports that. It doesn't, you know, she doesn't nag me if I'm like on purpose or, you know, and there's also the ability, she knows she has the ability to express herself freely with me, right? In any kind of entanglements we have, right? So she knows she has free range, and we have this dance that we have together that is supportive with what I do and with what she does. Are we off topic? I have a feeling we're just kind of possibly drifting to the left. It's your job to bring us back. You're holding the masculine.
I am holding the masculine. I am held as I hold the masculine. I like drifting. I like listening to relationship things. Okay, so then we can go into another question I have around the warrior. Yeah. You had said that when the warrior goes into shadow, it is sadistic. And how does that show up in like relationship? How does
the
sadistic shadow
nature? I'll take what I want and I don't give a shit about you. I'll show you one side of me and then I'll go do whatever I want on the other side. Right. I'll hurt you. I'll hurt myself. There is not a higher calling when the warrior is in his shadow. When he pins you down, you feel threatened.
Mm.
When he pins you down, you want to get out because he is not, his heart is not with you. Right.
Ugh.
Nobody wants that, right? That's abuse. That's, take it even further, that's rape, right? So, but there's nothing like, you know, when the warrior is tethered to the king or the purpose, his heart is open. The lover has infiltrated, you know, the warrior as well. And he's connected to you, so you trust him. And if your man is in integrity, you know, and he brings that flavor for you, yum, right?
Yeah.
But if he's right, but if he's not, you energetically immediately know, right? Mm-hmm. Like two people can pin you down, and you know exactly. Like it's the same movement. It's energetic is the only thing that's different. His heart is either open and with me. And is serving me. He's either serving you or he's serving himself.
Mm. What about that lukewarm in-between space? I'm thinking about an average Joe who's into maybe not quite on the sadistic realm, which is truly in the shadow, and definitely not all the way into the pure version of the warrior, but someone who's like, I'm just lollygagging around in life. And I like to like play, I like to be rough. Like, this is fun. This is good. And not disconnected from their heart completely, but just like in this like lukewarm space. I asked this question because I feel it's pretty common in our like half in, half out society, where it's your average Joe that a lot of women that I speak to meet on dating apps or are going out on dates with. And they're probably lukewarm on all of these things. There's a lot of like lukewarm characters out there. Mm-hmm. Is there, and if there is there a way that you would encourage heart connected feminine beings to call that person into a deeper place with their energy? or get the fuck out.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, that's really up to each person to decide how much they want to tolerate being in a relationship that's not in alignment 100% with them, right? There's a lot of people that go into relationship that are like trying to make the other person get to a certain place because they like certain aspects of the person, but not the whole package. And then you see like, you know, years go by. So I can't really answer that. Like, it's such an individual thing, right? I mean, you could be in a relationship that's not serving you 100%. And then, you know, you could have a kid and it just, it's like the formula, the situation gets really harder to navigate. But I'm an advocate of being with your highest, being with someone who is a match for you energetically, spiritually, emotionally, physically, sexually, cosmically. And I think, you know, I think life's too short to sell yourself short for anything less than a queen or a king. Mm-hmm. Now, you could be on, you, not every, it's like, you know, I'm not, you know, everyone is in different places and you're going to call in where you're at along the way. And some relationships grow together and some relationships, you know, don't. They just, you know, they drift apart.
Yeah. In the work that I've done, I've focused a lot on how to summon. I asked that question because that's really one of the things I've been learning to do as a feminine being, is how to summon that. It's another word that I'm looking for, but I can't think of it right now. It starts with an E, but how to summon that within the partner that I'm with by me going deeper into my, you know, my queen or my oracle and revealing with my heart and with my tears and with maybe creating actual art, like a dance or poetry or some sort of theater, how desperately I want you to show the fuck up and not, and doing it heart connected, because like you were saying earlier, if it's not connected to the heart, it is abuse. And so I think that's there, of course, like what you're saying, there's always a place where you just have to decide, like, is this person the person I want to be spending my time creating art to reveal to, or are they not? And if they are, and they're not changing the way you want, and you continue to keep showing up, you also have to own that whole experience and not resent them secretly for them not showing up as the full warrior that you are. They are, because you already knew that, right? So that's been a really, really helpful tool for me, is learning how to just simply reveal how much I want you to show up as a king or how much I want you to show up as a lover. And then after you do this practice day after day after day, you realize or you decide if it's no longer for you.
I think that's really great. And I think there's place for that, right? So I think the word you're looking for is invoke.
Yes, evoke. Yes, invoke. Thank you.
So and I think it's beautiful to gift a man, you know, like a lot of men, I work with men that, you know, they are afraid of a lot of their energies that run through their bodies. And, you know, if you know how, let's say in your women's work, you know how to be with, let's say sexy, dark energy and like, you know, tethered, let's say to, you know, to the heart and open, but like you like the dark kind of sexy energy, you know, and he doesn't know how to bring that, but you've been to like a weekend workshop and you're like, that's yummy. I want some of that. I'm going to go and like bring that to my guy, or I'm going to try to bring that out of him. How, that's such a beautiful, beautiful thing to explore together. Right. And if you, but you know, if you, you know, if you're constantly going back and it's like you're not being met, then it's, that's something different. But
that inevitably leads to some flavor of resentment and feeling disempowered. And that's probably for another podcast. But I do think that's a really juicy place for people to start when they're wanting to, you know, feel more of these different archetypes. So one of my last things I wanted to ask you about was, you're an actor, right?
I was. I mean, you know, I was. It's hard to like. I mean, I kind of let go of that. I was a theater actor for quite some time, and about 10 years plus. So, but yes, did you have a question about that?
Yeah, I have all the questions about that. you're like blushing. I love this. I should have asked this earlier. Yes, I was so excited. You do so many things. I mean, you have the beloved poetry website, and you're like doing poetry, and then you've acted, and you're doing this men's work. And I wanted to ask you what the similarities to you between embodiment work and acting work are, and how they have fed into each other.
What a great question. So, with acting, I mean, you're telling the truth under imaginary circumstances. So with embodiment work, you're telling the truth, you know, as well with the full expression of your body or being. It served me tremendously. I mean, I'm a stage actor, you know, and, you know, being in front of people and kind of, you know, I love being in front of people, and I enjoy the connection that goes back and forth. So it served my men's work. I enjoy that aspect of it. You know, creativity runs through you. You're a vessel. As a trained theater actor, you're really creating the container, right? But the learning the lines is the container, right? And the blocking of the scene is the container, right? Everything else that goes. And then once you go up, the creative energy flows through, and you're expressing your truth through the words, through the movement. And with embodiment work, you know, we do the same thing. We strengthen the container of our masculine bodies. I work only with men. And we, in order to allow the feminine energy to have a place to enter, to express itself. So whether that's inspiration from the divine, or whether that is having the capacity to hold feminine energy of our, you know, beloved, loved ones, whatnot. So I guess everything I've done in my life has served me to this point. And, you know, like the, you know, belovedpoetry.com, I created some years ago out of deep pain, you know, grieving and pain. I had nowhere to put it. And I started rendering my feelings into poetry of Sufi masters. And so I started rendering their poetry of Rumi and Hafez and then Neruda. And, you know, it became a healing agent for me. But in a way, it also fed my lover archetype. You know, I got drenched in with the pain of grieving, allowing that to just saturate every fiber of my being, you know, to break. And as Rumi says, you know, you keep breaking and breaking, breaking, breaking your heart until it breaks open. And so it serves, everything serves our journey forward. You know, everything, if looked at from the right perspective, has been leading you to this moment. And this moment is like what we have, right? And so, you know, I do get shy about it. I don't know why I get shy about it, but I loved that part of my life. And, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll come out of retirement.
Yeah, I was curious. Why did you stop?
I wanted to dedicate all my energy to men's work. I've been working with men for 25 years. Plus, but not purposefully. Like, I would do it, you know, I've been working with men on the side here while I, you know, I also have a web design company, you know, that I was running, but it was always on the side. And it wasn't until last year, actually, at a John Wineland retreat, he asked me to come teach something for the 4 days, 4 or 5 days that we were there, and then gave me an invitation to also participate. And, you know, I didn't think much of it. And I said, sure, I kind of said yes to it. And then, you know, it was during that Mojave Desert Panamint Valley experience that I had with those men that it became crystal clear to me that it was like now time to just, you know, go all in, full speed ahead. And so that's what I've been doing. You know, I created embodiedmasculine.com and started men's group, you know, started, you know, putting together workshops, and, you know, doing one-on-one coaching, six, you know, different programs. So now I'm just invigorated and 100%. So that's why I am in current retirement.
Okay. All right. Noted. I have only recently started getting into acting. And so when I saw that you,
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love
say
how you
more.
Light up when I talk, when I even say acting, you look, you're just like, so, so cute. I love it. Yeah.
I love it.
I started the opposite way, doing embodiment work. And I met Jamie, who I believe you are in.
I know very well. Yeah.
Very well. So me and Jamie are actually hosting a retreat together called The Embodied Archetype, and we're combining the world of embodiment with acting technically. I mean, it's not, these are all people that are not of the acting world that are coming. So it's going to be more like storytelling and going into the shadow. So it's all about going into our shadows with storytelling. But yeah, I started since I moved to New York and got my headshots. I've been in a student film, a short film, a dating reality show, a documentary, like boom, boom, boom. Like it's just been going so intensely. And I think I might actually go to William Esper, which is a really great acting school here in New York. Still like, I'm really leaning into that because that is a big thing. And I don't know how that's going to affect my embodiment work. So I want to like really slow down before I make any calls on anything, but it's just, it feeds each other. That's really what I feel in my body, is that when I do the acting work, I'm actually doing the embodiment work and vice versa. So it's a beautiful practice, and it's kind of sort of addicting. Like even the thrill of just like, you've got an audition request. I'm like, yes. And now just to learn how to memorize lines, that is so hard for me. Like,
it's a muscle. Yeah, it's a muscle. Yeah, I think the first play I did was like, I had two lines and I was like, oh my, it was just like even the two lines and the, like all of it was, and then, you know, then years down the line, it's like, you know, I've done stuff where, you know, like I'm on stage talking the whole time. Like, so like, yeah, but you know what? It's a muscle. So just be patient with yourself. I'm so excited for you. That's awesome. I don't know why I get excited when people say like they want to get into, because it's such a rewarding, experience. I think for me it was.
Yeah. When I've told people so far, they always light up like you have been, and it's just really beautiful. It like excites me because I'm like, there's some jewels within this. I'm only reaching like the surface of it right now, and I know the deeper I go and the more committed I am, because this is something that will take devotion.
Yes,
definitely takes devotion. Then the more I'll experience that too. So last thing, before we go into the quick fire round, can you let everyone know where they can find you online?
Oh, sure. So embodiedmasculine.com is the website for the men's work that I do and the purpose that I carry. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's my last name, at Khaligi, Khaligi. And if you want to dive into some Sufi poetry, you can check out belovedpoetry.com.
Beautiful. And I'll have all those links on the show notes as always. Okay. This is the divine deep dive round. What's your favorite memorized poem? It's just particularly for you.
Favorite memorized poem.
Or even just a stanza.
Yeah.
Give us a stanza.
Oh no, don't put me on the spot. I'm not gonna render
just
today.
One
but
line.
I'll tell you what. No.
Please.
No, I can't do it. No, I'm not in that space to do that. But Hafez poem, there's a couple that I like that have come to mind. So one is Leave the Familiar for a While by Hafez. And David White has a poem called Winter Apple that my wife and I kind of initiated us on our path. And I love that one as well.
Everything David White. Ugh, I just love him so much. Okay. Favorite indulgence at the moment?
Favorite indulgence. So my wife and I have committed to like these little getaways that, you know, we do every 3 months where it's just, we're not parents and we're just kind of Bedouin lovers escaping kind of into God knows where. And so we're committed to having one of these every 3 to 4 months. And we have one coming up tomorrow. So I'm really excited to get away with. We're going up to Big Sur, so to just disconnect and be in nature together. So that's our latest and my latest indulgence. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Most profound mentor to you.
Oh, come on. Seriously? Wow. Okay.
A profound mentor.
A profound. Well, I've been really incredibly influenced by Rumi. So, you know, he lived, I know it's like, you know, I don't know, whatever. It's, 800 years ago, but I kind of dove into him for a few years nonstop, and he has most influenced me. Ask me tomorrow, I may have a different answer, but today it's going to be Rumi.
That's why A is typically a better way to ask those questions than most profound April. What is the best investment you've made under $10,000 in the past year? Something that's really added a lot to your life.
That would be being a part of John Wyland's men's group.
So it goes that when we die, we are greeted by someone that means a lot to us. I think we're supposed to be greeted by a spiritual figure of some sort and an actual person in our life. From what I have read in researched books on people who have short deaths and come back. So who are the two people you think will greet you when you die?
And what are they going to say?
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. So I would say my father is going to meet me, and he's going to say, well done, son, you broke the chain. And then I'm going to meet Kali Ma. She's going to open the door. And she's going to invite me in.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Last question.
Yeah.
This one's fun. 3 dream guests for a dinner party. It's you and 3 other people. Who do you pick? For doesn't have to be the best dinner party, but just, okay, you're having a dinner party tonight. Amazing Middle Eastern meal is on the menu, and who's coming?
Are we going like live, dead? Like what's the parameters here? Like
is for this it one, let's do live.
Let's do live
tonight. Okay. Yeah, they have perfect. A little time to prepare.
So it's tonight. So I would want my wife's exes and my exes at the dinner table.
Oh, that's a really, really good dinner party.
Oh God. Oh, yes. I like to expand my ability to like hold presence. Yes. And that would be an awesome. My wife does not think so, but I think that would be fun.
Hey, maybe some first dates could come out of it. Maybe you'd actually be playing Cupid. You never know. No. Okay.
No, I have no idea.
No. Oh, well, thank you, Amir, so much for coming on to the podcast. And like I said, all your links will be on the show notes. So everyone must go follow you on Instagram and your website where you do such beautiful writing. And I look forward to when I meet you in person, because I know that'll probably happen sooner rather than later. You know, we're in the same circle.
I think so. Thank you so much for giving me a platform to share what I do. I appreciate it.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.